You're listening to News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM WVNN, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. This is Brian Taylor standing in for Phil Williams. And on the phone right now, we have Attorney General Steve Marshall on the line. He is, of course, former District Attorney of Marshall County. He has a long record of conservative, being a conservative fighter. He was the first district attorney, I believe, to achieve a prosecution or a conviction under the Brody Act. Is that right, Attorney General Marshall?
It is. You're taking me down memory lane a little bit here, Brian.
I am. Well, the abortion debate is back in the headlines, of course, with the recent Dobbs case out of Mississippi before the Supreme Court. So I thought it worthy of mentioning that. But we've got plenty of other things to talk about with you today. At the forefront of the news over the last few months, of course, has been the Biden administration's efforts to do exactly what he said he wasn't going to do, which is to impose all kinds of vaccine mandates across the board using his executive powers. And you've been involved and you've spoken, I believe, on this show and on some other shows about your efforts. And you had a victory yesterday. So what's going on? What did the Attorney General's office accomplish yesterday?
We did. And Brian, thanks for bringing up just a little bit of the history of this, where, you know, President Biden said months ago that this was not the role of the federal government. And so when we're evaluating the legitimacy in which this administration believes this is an effort that they should pursue, then we have his own very words that showed that this was not something that was the role of the federal government. And that's what, in fact, courts now have been able to say on three different occasions, because three lawsuits have been filed. The most recent victory we had was this week from the Southern District in Georgia, who ruled the federal contractor mandate stayed so that they could not pursue that. And one of the things I think it's also important, Brian, we know this as lawyers, but I don't know that people recognize this completely, is that when we're able to get a stay so that we can enjoin and stop the enforcement of an action temporarily, one of the factors the court has to consider is the reasonable probability that we will prevail on the merits. Right. And so in each of these cases in which we've gotten a stay, one of the fundamental findings from the court was that they accepted our legal arguments and believed that we would ultimately prevail on the merits in the end. And so we're very pleased with what we saw went on in Georgia, but that's been kind of the trend that we've seen here. We had the ability to stop the healthcare mandate in its tracks through an order out of a case we're involved in Louisiana about a week ago. And then before that, our first victory was pushing back against the private employer mandate, where that stay took place, and that case is now consolidated nationally in the Sixth Circuit. So it's been good victories for us, but it's what we've expected all along, because we know this administration has acted not only unlawfully, but contrary to the Constitution.
Well, congratulations on those victories. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. Are these cases that the administration's likely to take up to the Supreme Court?
You know, I would think so. I think the one that's positioned in the Sixth Circuit right now involving private employers is probably the one that is at least procedurally closest to getting there. But we've seen not exactly a great deal of urgency out of the Department of Justice's pleadings thus far. So we'll see. You know, right now we are pleased to know that we've got the initial victory, so that we've seen across the board the suspension of the implementation of vaccine programs from multiple employers across the state of Alabama, including recently as a result of the victory this week. We saw Alabama and Auburn suspend their efforts as federal contractors. And so, you know, we're, again, very confident about where we are, feel very comfortable in the arguments that we can make on appeal. And as you well know, from a lawyer's perspective, it's a lot better to be arguing to preserve your victory than to try to overturn something a judge has done.
Yeah, certainly. And I want to unpack the federal contractor mandate for a little bit. I think most people are familiar with the Biden administration's effort to require all employers with more than 100 employees to vaccinate their employees, or otherwise allow them to take weekly tests, I think. And that's been put on hold as well. The federal contractor mandate, most people probably don't realize just how widespread that is and why the president chose to do it that way. And you mentioned, of course, Alabama and Auburn. People don't think about our universities being federal contractors, but they are, right?
They are. And in fact, that was one of the linchpins for us in the case. But candidly, Brian, I don't know from your time in state government if you knew that Rehabilitation Services was a federal contractor, or the Department of Public Health was a federal contractor. When we first learned about the significance of this case as a result of Alabama and Auburn saying that they had a roughly $600 million in federal contracts, we were surprised. That was just not something that I expected or knew. And so the scope of this mandate, as you've described, is obviously far broader than any of us anticipated. And the other thing about this mandate that's unique is that not only would it have applied to those federal contractors, but also would have required some work on those that come into contact with federal employees. So if you worked in a building with a federal contractor, the government was going to require you to have some validation that these other folks who are completely unrelated to the contract likewise were vaccinated. And again, just shows the absolute fallacy of what the administration's done and the arbitrary nature in which they've attempted to enforce it.
And the legislature recently tried to address this too. In the special session, the state legislature enacted a bill that would ban employers from imposing a mandate on their employees. And that would have, understandably, businesses were concerned about that because that would have put them in between a rock and a hard place, if you will, between the federal mandate and the state non-mandate, right?
No, it definitely would have created a conflict of law, and I'm sure that's something that would have been litigated. But what we did see the legislature do is pass medical and religious exemptions that would have applied to most under federal law, but at the same time, we had at least no statute in Alabama that clarified what that meant. And one of the things that we've encouraged throughout was that employers provide a liberal construction to those making the medical and religious exemption requests that were available. We see the legislature adopt that same approach and then obviously put together a form that's now should be available for those if they have to be able to claim it. And one of the things I thought was unique that they included in there, and we also spoke to this before the legislature came back in, is if you had COVID, then is there really a compelling reason for somebody to be vaccinated knowing that they developed natural immunity in a recent past? So, that's also something that's included in that recent enactment of the legislature.
And one thing Phil and I have been watching is what's happening over in Oklahoma. You may be familiar. The attorney general there and the governor have also filed a lawsuit. I believe they filed it yesterday that would seek to protect their or exempt their National Guard from the federal vaccine requirement that the Department of Defense is seeking to impose. The Secretary of Defense recently responded to Oklahoma and said, nope, your National Guard is subject to the Department of Defense regulations. Is that something you're following? Is that something you see Alabama or other states joining in on?
It's actually something we very much are following. In fact, got a copy of the complaint probably about the same time you did yesterday to be able to look and ask our team to be able to review. We've also heard those stories. This is the first action that's been filed by any state that involves kind of that fourth prong of the Biden administration's effort on mandates involving federal employees. And so this is the first challenge we've seen there. There's some unique issues legally that impact whether or not we can move forward with it. But we've had a chance to review it and expect to be talking with other states about what can and can't be done.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how that certainly got some unique unique characteristics, the interplay between the federal active duty folks and the National Guard. I know the governor in Oklahoma has been making a point that he's losing National Guardsmen and has made the point that as long as the National Guard is required to be vaccinated, that's going to weaken his ability to respond to natural disasters, tornadoes, those kinds of things, as it weakens the force that he has. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Congratulations again on your victories. Would love for you to stick around. I know you're on the road. Would love for you to stick around for a bit if you can. Have a couple more questions. If you can't, that's okay too.
Brian, I'm going to have to run to the meeting, but thanks for letting me be on, and we'll come back, okay?
Well, we appreciate it. Thank you, General Marshall, for being on with us, and safe travels. You're listening to WVNN News Talk 770, and we'll be right back right after this break.